You're listening to the Denver Real Estate Investing Podcast, brought to you by RECO, your local guide for all things real estate investing in Colorado.
Hey everyone, in today's video, we're actually going to highlight and dissect the number one mistake I see from landlords, as I've done hundreds, if not thousands, of portfolio analyses. Now, often this mistake is costing landlords thousands of dollars per year. Now, we're going to look through it through the lens of our portfolio analysis as we sit down and do our analysis of, should I keep this rental property? Should I refinance this property, pull out cash? Or should I sell this property and move the equity to a different rental property? So today we're going to be going through a single family home rental property here in Aurora, Colorado. I've actually got my co-host and property owner, Matt Amundson, with me. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Chris. Let's get into this very exciting property of mine.
Yes. So I have Property Llama pulled up on here. And I have Matt's rental here in Denver. So we're going to look at this through numbers and also through Matt's storytelling and managing the property for quite a few years. So Matt, I'm looking here. I see the property is worth $400,000. But before we go to the numbers, just tell me about the property.
Yeah, so this is an old one. This is like a 1929 build. And it's four bed, one bath. It only has one bath on the main level. So being a four bed, one bath, I've just tried to make this like the Section 8 special. And I've had mixed results with trying to do that over the years. But that's basically what this thing does. Half a block off of Colfax. It's not the shiniest, brightest diamond in the sky. So it's just been a workhorse though.
Yeah. Well, let's sit down and do our analysis. So what I follow is I really look at this green numbers here. So return equity, we are showing about 12.63%. Now, to calculate this return equity, we're taking the four ways that we estimate, or the four ways you make money, and we project over the next 12 months how you'll make money. So about $12,000 in appreciation, about $5,700 in debt pay down, about $1,300 in cash flow, and about $600 in tax benefits. So you can see here, we take that gross number of $19,600 and we divide it over the equity of about $155,000. So Matt, it's showing that your equity is making you about 12.5%. What are your feelings towards that?
It's a little lukewarm at that point. When I start getting below 15, I start scratching my head on whether or not it's time to move the property. And I'd say anything below 10%, it feels like it's really time to go. So this one's kind of on the bubble.
Yes. And like a way we often describe with our clients is like 10% or less is kind of like the red light. That 10 to 15 is the yellow light. 15 or above is that green light, which usually means indicated. So yeah, Matt, you're in the middle here. So we'll analyze this property and go through our options. So what we see through the rest here of it being a 12.5% return equity, you're at a 61% loan to value. You got some good leverage in there. Usually once we get below 50 and really 40% is where we start seeing return equity really drop off. But the other big factor I see on here is you're at a 3.7% cap rate. Now cap rate is a metric we like to look at a lot to help understand how the property is currently performing. Now, Matt, do you remember what the cap rate was when you purchased the property?
I don't. When I bought this thing, I was just more focused on cash return at the time.
What was your cash on cash return back then? Do you remember?
Near 20%.
Yeah, 20%. So that's 20.0%. So high cash on cash return. So what I like to look at for cap rate on here is this tells us how the property is currently performing. So many investors get stuck back to, hey, when I bought this property, I bought it at an amazing 9% cap rate. That was great, but we're not in 2012, we're in 2024 now. So a 3.7 cap rate, does that excite you right now, Matt?
Not really.
Yeah, like would you buy a 3.7% cap rate property today?
No, I don't think I would wander out into the market and buy this property today right now with these numbers.
I agree with you. Now, I know we got some people out there saying, hey guys, this cash on cash right here, why is that blank? Matt, why is that blank? Why aren't we showing a cash on cash return?
because I bought this property for $89,000 in 2010. And you can see I've since taken quite a bit of that back out through previous cash out refinances. So I've got $244,000 in debt on the property. So I have far less than any of my own money in this property right now.
Now, remember, this is the interesting thing, though. Even though he's taken all his cash out, since he has no cash in there, it's not going to show a cash on cash return. And cash on cash return is more of a buy side metric. We are looking at optimizing Matt's portfolio here, which is a lot more about not the cash in the property, because things get wonky like Matt's example here, but more about, hey, what's this equity you have in there? That's your real estate piggy bank. All right. So as we go through here, we talked about the current state of the property performance, and that's always where you want to start. Hey, how is it performing? Get today's numbers in there for value and all that stuff. The other thing you want to figure out is, what are your goals? I've seen too many investors go out there and they look at, hey, should I keep it, refinance, or sell it? I'm like, well, what are your goals? And they're like, well, I don't know. Well, I can't tell you what to do with your property then if we don't know what your goals are. So Matt, simply put, what are your goals right now as a real estate investor?
Well, I certainly like positive cash flow on any rental I'm going to hold in the portfolio, but I'm a little more focused on growth. You know, we're focusing on this particular property, but some others of mine were lower performers than this, and I've put those into better growth avenues. This one, like we say, is on the bubble, so we're using it as an example today. So for me, growth, but as we get through the analysis on this one, we'll see how I've been led to the decision I'm making currently.
All right, so let's jump into the scenario of keeping the property. So this is scenario one, keep the property, then we'll do refi and sell in a minute. So I made a copy of this property so we can update it. All right, so we're going to go through a couple of checklists here. The first is, let's focus on what the strategy is, because you said it's been a long-term rental and you really geared it towards Section 8, right, Matt?
Yes.
So I think something that's always important to people who side of is, hey, when you own a rental, it is a business, right? And I always like to say, what's the best use of the business, or what's the best use of the rental property? And sometimes it's not a long-term rental anymore. There's options for short-term rentals or medium-term rentals. But from a high level, what's the best strategy for this property?
I mean, honestly, it might be doing more of the short and midterm rentals. It seems like we're seeing a lot more people be successful in that avenue. Just trying to, when I retooled this one, I was really focusing on getting a Section 8 voucher, and just ended up getting, you know, lower than we were shopping for on the market. But just that was the strategy I was a little more comfortable with.
Yeah. And that's a great thing is, you know, everyone out there is like, hey, look at, hey, what strategies can I do with this property? And then based off of what your, you know, the laws allow, the location and your time, while short-term rental a lot of times bringing more revenue, you know, where this is located, I doubt it'd be a great short-term rental performer. Right, Matt?
I agree.
Yeah. So you go through all that and we can do a whole other video on the strategy, but it's always good to reevaluate the strategy based on the numbers and also your time in managing the property. All right, so let's look at operating expenses. So I'm coming down here to this projected monthly income right now. And what I've seen is a lot of people, they have, you know, old data or, you know, like incorrect assumptions in here, especially right now, since we're seeing such a big wave of taxes and insurance. You know, they've been going up the last, you know, 6 to 10 months. And I think now they're really starting, everyone's starting to realize it now, since we all paid our first tax bill here in Colorado, what, last month or 2 months ago now?
Yep.
So we're starting to see that. So Matt, I'm gonna get your assumptions here. 3% expense inflation. I think that things are pretty stable now. Rent growth at 3% a year. Appreciation, we're forecasting below average appreciation. I mean, things have been, you know, 6, 7, 8% the last couple of years. And are you good with a 3% appreciation now?
I mean, I think it's always good to pro forma things out in conservative numbers.
Yep.
If interest rates drop to a point where we have more demand for the products, then we might see more appreciation than that. But that seems a little ways off currently.
Maintenance and CapEx, 10%. Vacancy, 5%. Property management, 12%. That seems a little higher than what I see. Why do you have it 12%?
So yeah, it's just an interesting thing that a lot of property managers are doing with like a leasing fee of like 50% that first month's rent, and then that's like 8% per month going forward, and that blends out to about 12%.
Yep. So a lot of times people can line item it out, or I agree with Matt, I kind of like the keep it simple, stupid rule, and I just round up a couple points on my property management fees to take care of it for me. Now, taxes and insurance, are these up to date, Matt? Have you updated your taxes based off of the latest updates?
Yeah, those current tax numbers, current property insurance numbers.
All right. So we're bringing a rent of $2,150, about $900 expenses, and about just over $100 a month in cash flow. Does that sound about right?
You know, certainly it feels like more cash in your pocket if you're not having those expenses hit you every month. But as we pro forma things out for the year, yeah.
Yeah, and we know maintenance, like you're not spending $215 a month on maintenance, but you know, it's $000 new water heater, right?
Right.
All right, so we went through the operating expenses on there. Now let's talk about management. Now you have a property manager on here. Have you had one for a while, or do you used to self-manage?
I used to self-manage, and then I brought in property management on this property. And now I'm on my third property manager. Just, you know, one sold the company to somebody else. And then they were letting some things kind of slip through the cracks. So I've since signed on with a new property manager.
Yes. So this is a great tip for everyone out there. If you self-manage, hold yourself to the same accountability with a property manager. And if you have a property manager, Matt says on his third one, that's very common as a landlord. You need to sharpen your skill of how to manage the property manager. So manage the manager. All right. So you got stabilized here. We got good assumptions. We got good property management in place. We got our operating expenses up to date. Now, let's go through our last main thing to focus on, which is looking at the rents. Now, this is, as I alluded to in the beginning of the video, the number one mistake I see in properties and portfolios when I look at them. I know, Matt, I think you, when you look at them as well, it's that people have their properties under market rent. Now, that could be because you've had a long-term tenant. It's also with the way rents have been booming last decade. By the time your lease is up a year later, you're already under market rent. But what's the rent you can get on this place, Matt? Now, is it $2,150 or is it more?
Yeah, so it's now more. It's $2,365 what I can get on this one.
Now, was that what you were hoping for? Because you, I think you had said earlier you're hoping for a higher rent, right?
I certainly was hoping for a higher rent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that four-bedroom Section 8 voucher goes quite a bit north of that one, but you know, they still will comp those properties. Market forces still will kind of dictate where you end up in there. And like I say, this property half a block off Colfax, you know, same thing that makes it difficult to find a good property manager for property with a little hair on it like this one.
Yep.
So this is, this is just where we were able to land for this new lease we signed.
All right. So I got the rents updated to $2,365. And two things that happened on here, a couple things happened. The return equity went up. So that went up by about 1.2 from 12.6 to 13.8. And your cap rate went up as well because now you have a better income property. So you're above that 4% cap rate, which is really nice to see. And now your cash flow goes from $100 a month to about $260 a month, Matt. You're probably happy with that, right?
I mean, it's moving in the right direction for sure.
Yeah. But going back here, again, we are very focused on return on equity. Overall, how hard is Matt's equity working for him? So it's great we saw return equity go up, but it's still in that like yellow light range of 10 to 15% that a lot of investors have. So 13.8%, how happy are you with that?
Like I said, I was hoping to get those rents juiced a little higher to be above a 15% return on equity. It's just, you know, sometimes it just doesn't go as smoothly as you want it to. Yep. And when we run in through some of these other scenarios, I mean, you'll see why this is a keeper for now.
Yep. And to get this rent, was there any major expenses you had to do, like, you know, $10,000, $20,000 remodels or anything?
No, we had some couple thousand dollars between on the last turnover.
So just basic turnover cost?
Yep. Just clean some carpets, do some touch up on paints. Different things like that. So,
all right. Now, here are two questions I'd like to ask our clients. I'll ask you, Matt, because we went through the numbers on here. Now, this is something that doesn't show up on a spreadsheet. What's your sentiment towards this property?
That's a good question, right? I always say that the headache factor is not a field on anybody's pro forma. I mean, this hasn't been one of my favorite properties. Just like I say, the age of the building, the challenges with it being off of Colfax like it is. I'm just kind of in the position I am right now because at one point when I was re-leveraging some of my rental properties, I leveraged this one to the max. So, you know, currently it's at 61% loan to value, but I took it up at that time all the way up to 75% LTV.
Yep.
And I was able to do that and still have a cash flow. So
great. So, you use that equity as a piggy bank and went out there and bought what, another rental property?
Yeah.
Great. All right. So the 5-year property outlook and plan. So, you know, like whenever I'm out there looking at, you know, keeping a property or placing money, look at numbers and also like 5 years out. What's the outlook for this property and location? Are you very bullish on there or what are your feelings?
Lukewarm, I guess. I've seen some improvements in this area, but it's still fairly rough. And I think a lot of those types of areas are just pretty slow to turn.
Yeah.
I've certainly been hoping to see things improve more in about the 14 years I've owned this property. But it seems like more and more every time I'm out there, I'm seeing more and more improvements happening around it. So.
Good.
Hopeful, but guardedly optimistic.
That's a very good way to put it. All right. So let's jump over to scenario number 2 now, which is, can we refinance and pull cash out to reinvest? Because, hey, having this equity work for you is the name of the game. Now, from a high level, since you're at a 61% LTV and about the max you can go is a 75% LTV, I can pretty much say this probably isn't worth running, but we'll do it anyway. But you don't, if your LTV was 30%, you have a lot more equity you can potentially take out. So yeah, we're going to go into
high loan to value and a 3.25% interest rate currently.
Yeah. Well, here's what happened if you refinanced it, right? Let's just say your new rate would be, 8%. You can go out there and buy a 5.5 cap rate property. And we're going to have to keep 35% in this current property and the new property for a down payment. So we just don't even have enough equity in there to make numbers work is what the system is going to tell us. So you can see here, if we were to refi the property and pull money out, the total value could buy is an extra, you know, $50,000 in value. So since the numbers are so small, you know, hey, the system is running the numbers, but saying, hey, you bought a property for $43,000. When's the last time you bought a $43,000 property, Matt?
It's been a long time. Yeah. I was gonna say, this will buy you a closet in somebody's ADU now and then.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a shed for you to buy.
Yeah, there we go.
So right now, the refi just doesn't work, which is no surprise based on the interest rate environment and just, hey, he's already on the higher LTV side. All right, so this brings, so scenario number 2 is out. And so I want to highlight here is that we are using our Property Llama software. Now, this serves a need in the marketplace where it's not how to go out there and analyze a new property to buy, but it's really about analyzing a current rental you have and your entire portfolio. So we're big believers in anytime you're about to re-lease the property or your lease is coming up or it's been a 1 year since you've done this last, you should come in and do a portfolio health checkup. Software is free. Go to propertylama.com, create a free account, upload your properties to get the same type of analysis. And then Matt or me or other members of the team are happy to hop on a Google call with you to help walk you through the numbers. But the whole point of the software is to help people figure out what decision to make with their properties. All right, so Matt, we are going to talk about scenario 3 now, which is, should you sell the property? Now, something that I have, that we've both trained our brains to do is, first off, understand what the tax consequences are. Even before we go down the route of 1031, I have learned it's always prudent to understand, hey, if I sell this property and I can't do a 1031 exchange, what am I looking at? Now, Matt, I know you said on here you had some interesting tax numbers. Can you walk us through that?
Oh, yeah, because I bought this property, like I said, for $89,000. So, you know, pretty low basis compared to current value right there. So when I was running these numbers with my accountant, we were looking at about, it was between $85,000 and $89,000 would be owed in taxes and capital gains.
85 to 89. Wow. Okay. So let's just say 85 for easy math here. So if we have 155 in equity, and that's before some transaction cost and fees. So let's knock off, you know, 15,000 from that. 140,000 is the proceeds, and you may owe $85,000 in taxes. Well, that's over half the proceeds you might pull out from there.
Yeah.
That's not exciting. But if you can't do a 1031 exchange, that might be the tax liability you're looking at. And, you know, that's a hard amount to offset. So we'll run a scenario here and do a 1031. I don't think this number is going to look very pretty either. We're going to buy a new property, 8% interest rate, 35% down payment at that 5.5 cap, which is a deal Matt can find here in Denver. And you can see here, his return equity is actually going to go down. So income goes down. Why? Well, because number one, you don't have a huge chunk of equity to go out there. You can only buy a property slightly bigger at a 35% down payment. So trading a $400,000 rental for a $450,000 rental, usually not worth the headache. And you see the numbers showed here. Hey, return equity goes from 13.8 to 8.5. Cash flow would actually go negative. All right, Matt, you ready to do a 1031 exchange?
I am going to hold off for now. Thank you.
My crystal ball is red on that one. So let's compare all three scenarios on here. We've got the keep it, which is going to be this one over here at about 13.8% return equity with an annual cash flow about $3,200 a year. The refi numbers made absolutely no sense. And the 1031 exchange numbers don't look that good. And then selling and then taking just some cash off the table to reinvest or take some chips off the table, you have a high tax liability on there. So those are your options. What are you doing, Matt?
Dun, 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 dun. I'm going to keep this property. I'm just going to hold tight, keep renting it out, and see what the future brings. I'm surrounded by a lot of multifamily buildings, and I've wondered if this neighborhood keeps turning like we've talked about for the better. You know, an exit strategy I've toyed around with is possibly tearing down this building because it's a 1929 build and, you know, building a duplex or triplex on that lot.
Oh, is the lot big enough and zoning allows for that?
Like I say, all my neighbors are multi-units on either side. So
great. Well, that might be a potential exit strategy on there for sure.
Yeah, that would be a solid way to, you know, boost the return. You know, either in terms of, like I say, in terms of it performing as a rental or in terms of performance as a sale. So, But yeah, for right now, with the different scenarios, those different options, right now it's a keep on the yellow light at about a 13% return on equity.
Yeah. I mean, while you're not, you know, I know you're not jumping over the moon for, you know, a 13.8% return equity, but it's the best option at the table right now, right?
Well, I like to tell investors, right? Sometimes we're looking for the best option. And then sometimes we just get the least worst option.
There we go. So good. So well said. All right. So Matt's going to keep the property, which I agree as well. If I was in Matt's shoes, I'd do exactly what he was doing. So here's our question. We're not there. What would you do if you're in Matt's situation, if you're in Matt's shoes? Leave a comment below. Emails, let us know. But more importantly, if you're a landlord out there with a property, go into Property Llama, upload it. See the numbers, and Matt or myself, we are happy to hop on a phone call with you or meet up for coffee and actually go through numbers so we can help you figure out what the best option is for you. Sometimes it's sell it, sometimes it's 1031, sometimes it's just, hey, you keep it and you hold on for another year or two. So Matt, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate your time on here and look forward to doing more of these videos with you.
Yeah, thanks. We look forward to helping more of you folks figure out what to do with your rentals as well. So let us know how we can help you.
All right. If you guys have any property questions, reach out to us, but we're going to be doing a lot more of these. Should I keep, should I refi, or should I sell my rental property? Talk to everyone soon.